Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Jaron Miller, and welcome to the Classic Series Redrive. Check them up. Let's get started. Hey, guys, thanks for tuning in to episode number 3. Once again, I am your host, Jaron Miller. I am joined by Mr. Kyle Forsyth, once again from his home in Idaho. We're sitting here at Reinhold's Tack and Western, where home headquarters for the Redriver Studio. A lot of us just got home from the Live Free Invitational Show, Live Free Southern Classic, I guess it was called, down there in Georgia. Great show. Kyle, did you get to watch any from home or anything like that?
Yeah, the live stream wasn't maybe quite as awesome as it was in Ocala, but it was still a great live stream. No, that's kind of the nice thing about the way things have been going with the live streams and stuff. It feels like you're almost there. You can see a lot, and definitely enjoy watching it. Try not to judge too much off of a live stream.
Jason Hunter and the whole Hunter Construction Group, Chip Lawrence, his crew with the horses there. They just did a great job. It was a fantastic show. 21-6 is another big show. Both of those Southern shows were really good. 21-6s. So, but I think it was kind of hectic for a lot of people coming home. I don't know if everybody's actually made it home yet, but I think maybe Young Living just made it home last night. I'm not sure, but yeah, it's definitely some interesting weather coming.
Just crazy, the weather the last couple weeks all across the country has been insane, and I think it was definitely some travel struggles.
Yeah, yet when have the whole state of Texas under winter weather advisory, you know it's bad. It's been like that for a couple weeks up here in Indiana.
Just from the pictures and stuff that Michelle Martin Randolph put on, I mean, just looked like a fantastic job of putting meals on and social events, and it looked like a real fun time there at the Georgia show.
Yeah, the food was good.
As well as the Ocala show.
Yeah, both shows were great, a lot of fun. Actually, a few of the Perry results for people that haven't got those yet, the Belgian Six, you had Triple Star Farm winning that, I'm sorry, the Houston entry. And Sugar Ridge, Kurt and Mary Fenoff were second. Burger Barn third, the Jason and Celeste Hill entry. A&C Belgians fourth and Brockwood fifth round out the Belgian Six. And they were judged by Jimmy Perio. And then you had the Clyde Six. There was a nice turnout of Clyde Sixes. Grandview Clydes won. Shannon and Karen Cobbs second. Was Chesapeake Clydesdales, driven by Jim Westbrook, third, South Creek Clydes, and fourth, Unhitched. Unhitched came all the way from Southern California to those two shows, so they traveled a long way. Those were also judged, the Clyde Six were also judged by Jimmy Perio. Express, Jackson Fork, and Young Living, I believe, were the top three. And then fourth, Blue Ribbon, fifth, Mark Messenger Memorial Hitch, sixth, Ames, seventh, Sioux Broad, eighth, Hunting Creek, ninth, Yoder Family Hay, 10th, Clark Family from Colorado, kind of a new hitch, new family to the business, great people, Dennis and Stacy Clark, MMO Pertrans, they were 11th, Fox Hollow was 12th, and then for the Open Six on Sunday, the last day there at the Live Free Southern Classic, judged by Eric Guyman. The winner of that was Jackson Fork. And then second, Young Living, third, Express. Fourth, Blue Ribbon, fifth, Ames. So top five were Pertrans there. Coming in sixth with A&C Belgians. Seventh, Yoder Family Hay, Brockwood, eighth. Sugar Ridge was ninth. Hunting Creek, 10th. Chesapeake, 11th. Sioux Broad, 12th. And see, Messengers were 13th, Burger Barn 14th, Triple Star 15th, and then Clark's coming in at 16th, Grandview 17th, 18th MMO, 19th South Creek, Unhitched 20th, 21st was Fox Hollow. Big show. But yeah, a lot of good hitches, great show, rounding out the It's kind of the winter show series, I guess. Now there's not a whole lot going on show-wise until, well, end of May, I believe, Memorial Day weekend. Kyle, that's Enos's show, correct?
Yeah, that's kind of when they'll get fired up, and then you'll move into Centerville and some of those early ones. So, yeah, no, it's exciting to have a little bit of a break, kind of moving into that sale season. Just looking at the points, Ocala hasn't put their points on quite yet, but the show in Georgia, Perry there, they put their points on. So the Belgians are looking like A and C is in the lead with 64, Burger Barn 57, Double S 50, Brockwood 47, Triple Star 42, Meadow Lake, M&R, Lorob, O'Call, and Westerfeld round up the top 10, Heritage Hill in 11th. The Pertrans, it's really getting tight. Jackson Fork with 102, Young Living 96, Express 94, Blue Ribbon 83, Yoder 82, 1 point behind in fifth to get that fourth spot.
Wow.
Looking like there's going to be a real battle. Ames right there too, 75 in sixth. Zubrod 61, Clark's 39, Messengers 38, HD Rapids 25, Hunting Creek and Silver Spur round out the top 10 at 25 as well.
Looks like that's going to be another tough race this year.
Oh, it's crazy. It's like one class is going to shake up who makes it, right? It's incredible. High Point, Chesapeake, Unhitched, South Creek, Grandview, Bennett, and Glenview are the seven Clydesdale hitches that have competed so far.
I look for the Clydesdales to be more
Chesapeake, Unhitched, South Creek, and Grandview. Yeah, those four got showing down there and got rolling. It's going to get a lot
of points
busier
under their belt.
And I think too with the Clydes, some of those hitches in Canada, if things get rolling, if the finals is back in Shipshewana, that's going to make it a lot easier for them to get to a finals. And I think that you're going to see a little more. A little more aggressiveness out of some of those guys, Steve Gregg.
And they're having that new Clyde show's going to be in Shipshewana the week before the finals, if the finals are in Shipshewana.
I mean, the Clyde Hitches down there at Ocala and Perry, they were getting in the mix some too, right? They put on some good drives. So.
Yeah, they did, for sure. Absolutely. Kyle, did you hear the news out of Ocala, Florida, about our producer, Logan Reinhold?
I tell you what, we were looking through Facebook, seeing a picture, and I mean, his girlfriend had her left hand strung across her chest with that ring finger poking out as far as she could get it. So the official announcement hadn't been made, and it was pretty clear that they're leaning that way.
Yeah, she actually couldn't use that hand much because the ring weighed so much that she was having a hard time lifting her arm.
Such her left arm's definitely going to end up longer ring than her right arm, huh?
Yeah, yeah. No, congratulations to Logan and Stephanie. He did propose to her in Florida at the Ocala show, and she did say yes. So shout out to our producer and our sponsor, producer and sponsor, Logan Reinhold and Stephanie, congratulations. So, Kyle, you should have seen us. We're at the morning. So Michelle, photographer, comes to me and was like, I'm usually not here this early at a show, but there's a proposal. And I said, oh, really? Like expecting it to be a secret. Right. And I said, so who is it? She says, Logan, don't tell anybody. So I, of course, told the Burger Barn crew. They told the Blue Ribbon crew, and next thing you know, there was like 30 people just standing in the barn, like watching waiting for Logan to take his walk out to the big tree out there in Ocala. And then everybody was like following him out there. It's funny.
Did Stephanie know Logan was going to do it?
She said she had no idea, but she said she didn't know until we stopped under the tree. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, they took a long walk, and he just kept walking because we all wanted to, like, be witness to this. So they took off walking, and then there's, like, literally, I bet, at least 20 of us were, like, following them. But we stopped at the edge of the barn, and Logan just kept walking. We were like, stop, we can't see anymore, right? And Michelle Martin Randolph, the photographer, was ducking and diving behind trees and rocks and trying to get pictures and hiding. But it took them forever. They were up there talking forever. And I told Hostetler, I said, I'm going to go back to the barn because this isn't going good. Like, if Logan turns around and starts walking back to the barn, like, I'm going to go get him a drink or something because this ain't going. But so it turns out, no, it was all good. She said yes, and it was awesome. It was a great day. But so anyway, yeah, once again, we had a couple emails sent to us. And if you have any, once again, if you do have any questions, suggestions, feedback, anything, we do want to hear, make sure you send us an email. Our mailbag is podcast@naaclassicseries.com. It is sponsored by Reinhold's Tack and Western Wear. So I believe we do have, Kyle, you got something out of our mailbag?
Yeah, I got one here from @EvanWall. On Twitter. The question is, Jaron Miller, can you describe your first experience at a horse show with show harness?
No, we don't. You know, I was fresh off the farm and we never had show harness. I don't really want to talk about it, to be honest with you.
Go on, Jaron. So, you went to help Larry Hansberger. This is your first time at a show.
Yeah, my first time at a show. Working. This was years ago. I still have the banner. We got 10th place at the Governor's Cup. And I think there's probably 9 hitches there. I don't know. There wasn't a lot. We were at the bottom. I don't know. I don't really know what he's talking about, honestly, but the whole thing was a learning
experience. Well, I guess the story I got was they went into a class and you and Evan were left at the barn to get the horses ready for the next class. And you were looking in a harness box with that look on your face like,
what is this?
How does this deal work?
Well, it was me, Evan, and Kyle Love were the crew. So you know how well, what kind of support I had. I mean, I had like, zero guidance. They just stand around and make fun of me. But we figured it out. That was an interesting summer, that's for sure. Everybody should start showing words, under Larry Hansberger.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you there. So in other words, basically the way the story was told to me is show harness doesn't necessarily go on horses quite the same way as work harness.
No. No, you don't keep it all but together you and just throw it over. I did get it figured out after the first couple of days, I think. They kept me on. They must have been desperate for stall cleaners or I don't know. But that's the last time we're going to go to the mailbag. I'm filtering the mailbag from here. From here on.
Yeah. We're gonna look for it on down the road here, but we're gonna have an episode of the Larry Hansberger stories. We're gonna have stories from a bunch of people that grew up on the Purple Bluffs program with Larry.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, we've been talking about this and just to sit down for a couple minutes with all the people that have worked for him over the years and to share the stories. And I think it would be no better time to do it than now with him. This is his last year on the board. That'd be good stuff.
Today's episode, just fantastic interviews with Craig and Dale, Craig Grange, Dale McMain, and Jim Ruppel. Joined Jaron and Mark and myself, and just great guys.
Yeah, we had
been around the business a long time. Just
to talk about a couple legends, and I think we talked for him, with him there for about 45 minutes. But I could have sat there all day, and just the knowledge and the history and the stories, and it was really interesting. And we got to sit down with him down there in Florida. So I hope you guys all enjoy this episode. We would like to thank Rick and Andrea Welsh, owners of Topeka Draft Horse Auction, offering three great draft horse sales throughout the year. Next auction coming up is the spring sale, March 15th through the 19th. Make sure you follow them on Facebook, Topeka Livestock Auction, or visit their website, topekalivestock.com, and we'll see you in March. We're sitting here with Craig Grange, Dale McMain, and Jim Ruppel, legends in the draft horse industry. Also joined from his home in, or it looks like it's your barn. You're out in the barn in Idaho. Mr. Kyle Forsyth, Mark Hostetler sitting here, and of course our producer, Logan Reinhold. So how are things in Idaho? How's the weather out there?
Oh, everything's good. A little bit cool this morning, as to be expected this time of year, but we'll take it. Sunshine.
You have shoes on the horses and driving, or are they kicked out?
This week, actually, I put some plates back on, and we just started giving them a few days of work. Nothing too serious quite yet. But
mm-hmm. Well, Craig, we talked about this a little bit a couple nights ago on our other podcast, but you are the winningest driver of the Classic Series. I believe you won five times, correct?
That's
with,
correct.
With yep. Cape Cod.
True.
And the last one was what year?
That's a good question.
I had it written down somewhere. I'm not even sure. How long did you
early
work?
Early 2000s, I believe.
Yeah. I'm not sure what year it was.
How long did you work for Cape Cod?
We're still working for them.
Okay.
The Creelman brothers. We've been there this will be our 26th year. Mm-hmm. We interviewed and took the job for 6 months, and it's turned to 26 years so far. Nice. But, and
you're still on trial?
I think we're still on trial, but apparently we're succeeding.
I'd say. Showing light horses or what breed are they into now?
We got rid of the Percherons in 2012, so in 2013 we started doing combined driving with the foreign hand of Warm Bloods, and most of them were Dutch harness horse crosses with a saddle brand or Friesian or something like that. But and we went right to the FEI level, which was a big learning curve on my part. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to that game than meets the eye, and but it was fun. I enjoyed it, and then my body gave out. I had to have two new shoulders and a new hip. So we got rid of them and quit showing, doing that competition. Now we're just buying some colts and growing them up, breaking them and selling them.
Yeah. And that was that like a four hit?
Yeah. Four and a hand.
Yep. Is that what they call it? Okay.
Four and a hand. And you compete. One day you do dressage. The next day you do a marathon, which is the race through the obstacles and hazards. And the third day you do a race through cones, and you have like 8 inches of clearance for your buggy. It's very, very difficult. It's a lot more difficult than...
A little different than driving six horses in a circle.
Totally, yeah. It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah,
I had to learn to drive all over again.
Uh-huh.
So, and they're probably a little bit quicker on the feet.
Very much quicker. And you buckle your reins together. You know, light horses, your lines are reins, not lines.
Yeah.
Draft horses, they're lines. And I did my first show out in Skunk River near Ames, Iowa. And I got to the end of the, I drove them draft horse style. And I got to the end and the judge said, well, how'd that go? I says, well, not bad. I says, he says, it'll go a lot better if you'll buckle your reins together. I said, I'm trying to learn, but it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah.
So, but I did have to learn. And it was, once you understand why they're doing what they do, it makes it a whole lot easier. And, mm-hmm. and it does practice like anything. Practice makes perfect. And, there's a lot of work to that game, but there's a lot of work to this game we're playing right here.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Yep. So, a lot of cleaning.
Yep. And it's not hard to see who's done their homework when you get in the ring. You can just watch the horses drive around there, and you can tell the hitches have been doing their homework. They drive nice, and they get into the corners, and they perform like a hitch should perform. Mm-hmm. And the water doesn't get any deeper than it is here.
That's for sure.
Except we miss you, Kyle.
Yeah, we're just missing one in the depth end here.
It does definitely make you miss it when you're watching it on the live stream, and it is hard to watch, that's for sure. That's why I put shoes on this week, I guess. No, I haven't went that far yet.
We would like to thank Shipshawana Harness and Supply in Shipshawana, Indiana. Mr. Bob Schrock, if you're looking for products for the show ring or at the farm from A to Z, anything you need, horse nutrition, tack, you name it, make sure you check them out, ShipshawanaHarness.com. Follow them on Facebook or visit their shop in beautiful Shipshawana Amish country Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. till 12 noon. Call Mr. Bob Schrock, 260-768-7254 for all your draft horse needs. Craig, do you spend all year in Florida? Or
no, we just spent 6 months down here.
6 months, okay.
Yeah, 6 months here and 6 months in Iowa.
Okay.
So this is our 19th year down here, and when I asked Ross Creelman, I says, would you care if we bought a place in Florida and took the horses there for the winter? He says, well, you're going to have a problem. I said, what would that be? He said, you're going to have a lot of company. And we have, but it's been great. We love it.
Uh-huh. And Dale, talk about, you spend most of the winter down here as well?
I spend 6 months down here. And a little bit less than 6 months. I usually don't get to come down until we get the last load of corn unloaded at home. Sure. And we usually leave in time to start planting back home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I retired from farming here 5 or 6 years ago, but I still pretty much do the same thing at home as I always did, is only this time the financial responsibility isn't there, and I'm just helping my brother.
Right. I'm sure it's nice to be able to come down here for the harshest part of the winter. You bring horses down as well?
I bring a pair of Dutch harness horses that we drive through the trails in the timber, mm-hmm. and it's vacation for us.
That's become a pretty big deal, you guys' drives.
We have a lot of fun.
I can't imagine. There's no coolers involved, I'm sure.
Oh, there might be one.
It starts with Bloody Marys, and you go right on through, right?
Whatever.
And we had 42 people on the ride the other day, a lot of them that were down here visiting, down here for the show, and mm-hmm. and we knew they were coming, so we tried to work a ride in, and everybody had a pretty good time.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, there's a lot of people here. I couldn't believe how many people came down here to Florida just for vacation and just hanging out, you know, draft horse people from, you know, the northern states there. So you still have Belgians?
I personally don't, but my grandson, he's still in it. And the minute I get home, I'm full-time employed helping them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a six-horse hitch of Belgian mares that he drives. So, and we're raising 4 or 5 colts here, so we're staying pretty busy.
Right. I know you have been very prominent in the Belgian industry for many years. What got you started at the generational, or were you, did you buy your first horse? Or?
I was probably the third generation. My grandfather showed at some of the county fairs, and then my dad showed, and ever since I was a kid, we were always involved with it. We started out at the county fairs and went to our first big show the first time, and we thought we were pretty good in the county fairs. We were doing some winning, and as soon as we moved her up a notch to the state fairs and stuff, we found out that we weren't near as good as we thought we were before we got there. And so you ask yourself the question, what are we going to do? Are we going to go back down to the county fairs, or we want to move up and play with the big boys and have a good time? So we made the choice and never looked back. We've always enjoyed showing and competing against the good competition, and have met more good people than you could meet anywhere.
Right. What shows would you hit mostly, your major shows, like Brit and Iowa State Fair? And
Back then, the national show was at Davenport, and usually we would hit 2 or 3 smaller ones in Illinois for warm-up shows, and then we'd hit the national show, and then we'd go to Wisconsin State Fair. Sometimes Ohio State Fair, pick up Indiana on the way back, hit Indiana, and make sure that we got the horses
loaded up from there in the right spot so we could get to the Iowa State Fair, because the minute we got there, we had to get a horse and a harness and a cart out to roll there. And then from there, we go on to Minnesota, come back and hit Brett. And quite a few times we'd hit Denver and Fort Worth one time, and then head on down here to Florida a couple times when the show was at Ocala.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed pretty busy with it.
We would also like to thank Penwoods Perch Runs, specializing in ship-chilled semen. Once again, with a powerful stallion lineup here in 2021. If you have some mares at home that need bred, make sure you check them out. They have the Tripcrest Ladies Man Horse, Bellevue Crown Royal, Thunderhill Crosby, Recount, list goes on and on. Check them out on Facebook, or you can call them 814-364-9917 or 814-364-2183. Chad and Ron Nicole, Penwoods Pertrons. So the Fort Worth, I forget, that was, you know, before my time, but there was a draft horse show in Fort Worth. Was it at the Stock Show?
Right. Or, okay. You could travel from Denver Stock Show right to Fort Worth, show there, travel down to Florida, and show down here all within about a month's time.
Okay.
And everybody, for Fort Worth had a nice show for 3, 4, 5 years, and I don't know why they discontinued it, but they did. Mm-hmm. And then Florida kind of was out of commission for a while. We didn't have a show here for a few years. But glad to see him pick this one up again.
Yeah, for sure. The Live Oak show, when was that? When would the last year been for that, do you know?
Good question.
Is that mid-90s?
Yeah.
Cause
I would say might have been 92. No, wait a minute. I'm not sure. We showed there in 2004 with the Perchards.
Okay.
So, but I think there might have been a year or two they missed. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think 86 maybe was the first show. I judged the first show they had down here.
Okay.
And that was back in the Carousel days when the Carousel had Perchards out of Altoona, Iowa.
Yeah, they were the first Classic Series winner in 88.
Is that in 88?
Yeah.
Okay, it could be.
88-89 season, I believe, okay, was the first year.
Yep.
Because this would be the 33rd year for the Classic Series.
Okay.
And I did a little research, and they were the first ones to win it.
Yeah, I think Sigmund's had a good run out there when they had the good hitch. They won it 3 years in a row, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Brislon, Davy Fry, I think he won it one time.
I'm not sure of that either.
Okay. Davey would have won it with Cedar Farms, correct?
Possibly. He showed the Brislons with the Clydes or Cedar Farms with the Perchards. Mm-hmm. Not sure.
Yeah, I think Live Oak won it 1 year with the Clydes in the late 90s.
You're right. Live Oak won it once. I think Jim Westbrook has won it 3 times, once with Live Oak and twice with Ames.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So anyway, Ross has won it 3 times also with different hitches, like twice with All-Star and once with Jackson Ford.
Yeah, he just had his third one, the current or the reigning.
I told him that's close enough, you know. He says, I'm after your record. It's easier said.
Kind of like Mahomes chasing Tom Brady.
It's easier said than done.
Is that a competition, Mahomes and Brady? I mean,
neither one of them could drive a 6.
So what would be one horse that both of you drove that really stands out in your mind as just a superstar? Or a horse that you've seen, I guess?
That's a loaded question. Depends on what era you go to. Back in the McKeon days, we had a horse we called Bill. He'd go out there and he'd win you the halter class. Linda would drive him in the ladies' cart, and I never had to head him once. He stood like a statue. He just stood out there like, here I am, look at me. And she would win way more times than she got beat. And I really liked that horse. But in today's game, He probably didn't have that extreme, extreme action, but he was very well behaved for a lady to drive. And but today's game, boy, she's tough. Krista drove a horse we called Platinum in the swing, and
legendary horse.
She won way more cart classes than she got beat in. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
And he was a nice horse.
Yes, he was.
He was an extreme horse. It was a little funny story how we got that horse.
Our sponsor, J.W. Scutt, is North America's leading source for your new custom-built show wagons, used hitch wagons, and practice wagons as well. Located in the rolling hills of West Michigan, we have been an industry leader and family-owned and operated for many decades. Follow us on Facebook at J.W. Scutt Custom Wagons or call the shop at 269-793-0058.
We were at the show in Lansing, Michigan, and on Sunday morning they show Perchern studs. And we had a kid working for us named Paul Lindsay, and he didn't want much for eating breakfast. We said, "Paul, you want to go to breakfast?" "No, I'm going to go watch a horse show." So the rest of us all went to breakfast. We come back, and he comes over and says, "Hey, there's a colt you need to go look at." So he pointed me to Platinum. And we looked at him and asked Ryan Berger if he'd sell him. And he says, "Yeah." I said, "What's the price?" $10,000. This was in 2003, I think.
And he was just
a weanling. And that's quite a price. And so I called Ross and I says, "There's a colt here that is the real deal." And he says, "Well, isn't that pretty high?" I says, "It is for a colt, but," I says, "you're going to pay 30 or 40 when he's a three-year-old. Better buy him then," he says. So we bought him. And the rest is history. He turned out to be one of the cheapest horses we ever bought.
I was going to say that was a pretty cheap horse then, turns out. How about you, Dale? Any?
We have
quite a few, I'm sure, too.
We had a horse quite a while ago that actually I bought him from Craig when he was working for McKeon's, and he didn't really fit in their outfit, but he was fine for us, and he went on to do a lot of winning at that time. When you drove him, he was pretty hard to beat in a cart class, and a lot of people got to know him because it was very extreme. He had a lot of action and a tremendous amount of headset, and he was pretty. And
you got him when we sold out.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't sell him. We would have kept him if we kept going.
Just to clarify that.
Yeah, I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, actually, we weren't supposed to get him because, let's see.
Tom Miller bought the hitch.
Yeah, Tom bought him.
And I said, "Do you want the hitch I'm going to show at the Royal, or do you want the hitch we showed in Davenport?" Which Bones was in at the Royal, but he wasn't at the Davenport time. He wasn't ready yet. He said, "I want the hitch you showed in Davenport, Iowa." I said, "Okay." Dale says, "I'll take Bones if he don't go." And he took him.
So, but I knew what he was. We had been, Craig's semi was full, and he didn't have room for him. So we were using him. So I knew exactly what he was. And he was a good horse for a long time. And we also had a horse called Tank that we raised, that my daughter drove in the ladies' cart in 2000 at the Belgian World Show in Ohio. And he won the ladies' class there. And that was a big, big feather in his hat. And he was a good horse. We had him for quite a while, and he was a good horse. And Bunkston had a horse called Mr. Springs. And, well, what was his real name? You know Ropes? Oh, I forget what
well, is. That was his nickname around the barn.
Yeah.
Springs.
And he was an exceptional horse for the time. Audrey would drive him in the ladies' cart. And
he didn't always behave. That's what hurt her in the ladies' cart. But he was quite an awesome horse.
Mm-hmm. What about, I had.
Is that the Doug horse?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Doug.
I had a.
Yeah,
Rev, that Lorob owned. He was quite a horse. I remember helping Mark at a couple shows, and I always liked him.
Dale raised him.
Dale raised him, yeah. World champion. And
we had him, and I made a mistake by selling him. I thought the money was pretty good, and I spent all that money plus some trying to replace him, and I never did get one anywhere near as good. So I learned a good lesson there. If you got a good horse, you better hang on to him.
Yeah. Yep.
And Kyle, you stole one up in Michigan there that I would have really liked to had. You still got him.
Yeah, he's still driving pretty good. I'm pretty happy we have him still.
What's that, old George?
Yeah, yep.
If you're looking for high-quality, custom patent leather show harness, look no further than Shanahan Harness, located in Huntsville, Ohio, with over 50 years of harness-making experience. Call Dan Shanahan, 937-686-5202. Once again, Shanahan Harness, 937-686-5202, or visit them online at shanahanharness.com. Kyle, you said there was a story about Dale. Dale, you might want
to
put...
I've always wanted to ask Dale this story. Dale, there's a legend out there that it was, I think it was maybe Indiana State Fair or somewhere, where you were wheeling around at a swing pole because some cowboys made you mad. And I've always wanted to hear you tell this story.
Well, it was... It was just something that happened there that it all started with the cowboys started walking through the barns with their horses, and the draft horse people, they didn't like that very well, because if they would happen to go to the bathroom and they wouldn't clean it up, they'd just keep right on walking. And then the draft horse people had a party that night in the makeup area, and... just by chance, here come the cowboys going to walk right through with their horses again. And I think, I think one of them punched either Lee Eller or pushed his wife or something. And then Kent House, knocked him down. And then pretty quick, here come the cowboys. And then pretty quick, here come the draft horse people. And it was just a bad deal there for a while. And, so everybody's, well, we're just kind of making do with what we had and try to get everything straightened out there. But it all worked out. Nobody got hurt too bad.
And you said a swing pole was the closest
Well, it, actually, it wasn't me that had the swing pole. I think it was Big Don Sneckloff that had the swing pole. But I was busy with a few other cowboys.
giving them a good
working
over.
Place out, I heard, anyhow.
Oh, that's funny. So, Craig, what do you see, even since you've, since Cape Cod quit showing, what's the biggest change that you've seen in the draft horse industry or with these sixes?
I think the biggest change, and I'm not a fan of it, is the way they're shod. I'd like to see them go back to be more friendly to the horse. I said, I think we're starting to make these horses so animated. We're running into soundness issues. Horses don't stay sound when you hang that much pad, shoe on the end of their leg. And, yeah, it does accentuate their action.
For sure,
I think we're going down the wrong trail. I think the Tennessee Walkers went down this trail, and now they got rules and PETA and everything else after them. And I'd like to see us get a little more conservative and back to being a little more kind to the horse. That's the biggest change I've seen in the draft horse industry in the last, 9 years since we've been showing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'd like to see that go the other way. And I think that starts with judges. You know, the judges got to start placing them, taking that into consideration, let's put it that way. So,
because the judge is where it all starts, right?
Exactly.
Because they're going to...
If they're winning and doing that...
That's the route they're going to go down,
To me, if you want to learn how to show draft horses, watch what the winners are doing and imitate them.
Mm-hmm.
And if the winners are doing that, I don't blame people for trying to imitate them, because that's what wins a class. That's what you're going to do. But the judges have to start doing that.
Mm-hmm. I think that, Craig.
That's a sore subject on a lot of draft horse exhibitors here.
When we went to English's, I'll never forget, and I know he was your farrier for a lot of years, maybe still is, but Donnie Lowe's, he said, I asked him one day, I said, Donnie, what, you know, I have this horse, he doesn't move quite good enough. What would you do to help a horse like that? And Donnie says, well, if you can't live with how he moves, buy a better horse.
Exactly. A lot of truth in that statement.
The Young Living Pertrons, the equine ambassadors for Young Living Essential Oils, are brought to you from their global headquarters in northern Utah. Whether online or in the hitch, these horses are a powerful representation of the company's commitment to providing essential oils of the highest quality to families across the globe. These world champion Pertrons represent Young Living's founder, Gary Young's continuous pursuit of excellence. You can visit these mighty Pertrons 6 days a week at their home, the iconic Young Living Lavender Farm in Mona, Utah. You can also see them in action as they compete year-round across the United States at fairs and stock shows, including Young Living's annual Falls Festival and Draft Horse Show. We have Jim Ruppel here, and he's, Jim, you're a farrier, and you're still shoeing horses, correct?
Yes, I'm still shoeing some.
At the fifth age of 50 years young, something, am I close, right?
I got 50 years in shoeing. I started when I was 18.
So. But you said you're down here and you're still shoeing for Westbrook for Chesapeake Clydesdales, correct?
Yeah,
and
he brought me.
You shod for him for years when he was...
Since he was at Live Oak. Every place since.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on what Craig just mentioned about the...
Oh, exactly. I just can't stand it when they don't have the right angles and too much toe, and you got to do it. You got to help some, but too far isn't going to gain you anything except a lame horse.
It might help for a short term, for, you know,
exactly
half a show season.
You can only help the good ones.
Right, correct, yeah. And especially with the Pertram breed, I feel like, because they've bred them to be so fine-boned and big, you know, and then you put all that, shoe them up like that, and it's just not... No, that's interesting for sure.
Back in the day when we started shoeing, Dale and Jim and I are all close to the same age. You couldn't find good horseshoes like you can today. Nobody was mass producing them. So you go to the forge with a bar of iron, 22 inches long, and you heat it up and build your own shoes. And we all made our own shoes and put them on, and that's the way it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can go to the store and buy shoes. And
yep.
Now, you know, back then you fit the shoe to the foot. Now it's you fit the foot to the shoe. And that's not the correct way to shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Just my opinion.
Sure, absolutely.
And another thing that, and I think there's quite a few people would agree with me that a lot of the judges aren't paying attention to the drives anymore. They're getting more speed. They're planing out more when they're going faster than their best gait, and they're forgetting to get into the turns like you're supposed to. There's so many shows, if you watch them, they just drive around the corner and their wagons are 20 foot off the rail in the middle of the ring, and the lead team's out toward the rail. And I'd really like to see some of the judges step up a little bit more and say, you got to have a drive. You can't just hit the straightaway and pour the lines to them and go fast, because it's a technical drive, and that's the way they should be driven and presented, in my view. I'd rather see them up into the bit, collected, driving into the corners, driving on the rail like they're supposed to. And that's one thing that has changed in the last several years that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your guys' thoughts on headsets and how that's evolved over time? I know, looking back, watching both your guys' hitches, when I first started in the business, back in the early 2000s and stuff, I was always just amazed at how you guys both put so much emphasis on the way they carried their front ends. And I feel like we've went through different stages in the industry where people checked hard and they've gotten a little looser checked and some of those type of things. What's your guys' thoughts on the way the headsets have gone over the years?
I think you're right. We've gone through a stage where tighter is better. And the more you can tighten them up is better. But I disagree with that philosophy. You're going to get better drives. But then, like Dale said, they've gone away from judging how they drive. But your horses are going to drive better if they aren't checked so tight. And they're going to be happier horses. You're going to see horses, instead of their ears laid back, the whole class, you're going to see them out there using their ears. Their ears are up looking, you know, performing. And I think we've gone away from that. You know, you can tell the ones that their head is cranked up there so tight, the horse is mad, and you don't get good drives that way. So I think there's a happy medium to hit right there along with the shoeing. I mean, it's all what works best for the horse you have. You can't make a silk purse out of sow's ear. The horse has to be built right to carry his head right. So it starts with buying the right horse.
Right. Yeah, you can't give a horse a headset, or, you know, a lot of time to think they're trying to.
They're born with it.
Exactly. Born with that slope of shoulder. And you got to, you know, or you're trying to mate the horse beside him. You know, if the horse beside him head's a little high, well, you get to crank it on. We would like to thank Shipshewana Harness and Supply in Shipshewana, Indiana. Mr. Bob Schrock, if you're looking for products for the show ring or at the farm from A to Z, anything you need, horse nutrition, tack, you name it, make sure you check them out, ShipshewanaHarness.com. Follow them on Facebook or visit their shop in beautiful Shipshewana, Amish country, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. till 12 noon. Call Mr. Bob Schrock, 260-768-7254 for all your draft horse needs.
He sued the sale. And that's the sale the next year put in the rule, no pads on any feet at the Columbus sale. You shod your horses the way they should be shod.
Now look where we're at. Yeah, isn't that unbelievable?
Now think what it's like now.
Then old Bill Worker comes, and it looks like he's got pads on his shoes. And he said, that's not a pad. That's a shim.
He cut the middle out.
He cut the inside out.
So then they put the rule in the next year, no leather, no nothing back between the shoe and the foot.
Oh, Worker, he was pretty sharp there.
And I'm sure... Well, Filler obviously was out at a sale back then. Fill. And now, even Filler at a sale. Like, you pull that shoe off, you don't know what you're getting anymore.
Exactly.
Buyer beware.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I didn't agree with the no pad thing, but Palmer taking it to the extreme level, kind of the way they're shoeing now a little bit. It was that much of a step up. We couldn't hardly believe it. You know, sir, did you see the way they were shot?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Talk about sales. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dale.
I was going to say, actually, at Waterloo, Roy Curtis sponsored a class, a barefoot class.
Yeah.
And it was basically after the Halter show. And if you were going to take your shoes off or whatever and wanted to get in that barefoot class, you could show in the barefoot class.
Okay.
Morning, Dave.
Which is the opposite extreme, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Talk about sales. Was that... what was the last horse you bought at a sale? Was it that Striker horse at Gordonville?
Yeah.
That was the last horse you would have bought. And you paid, what was that,
$54,000.
$54,000.
Which was extreme back then.
Sure, yeah.
Now it's a good horse.
Well,
brings that.
$100,000.
So it's double.
Yeah. Well, I guess they had a Belgian stud there that brought $112,000 that Dean Woodbury there had fit it and took there. But, yeah, it's crazy how...
Yeah. Oh, it evolves and changes, and a lot of it's good, you know, but it all ain't good.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But we sound like the guys that talked that way when we started.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Oh, that's true.
You
that's
take
just...
his dad and Don Schneckloff and Rollin Ruby and all them guys.
Yeah, I showed Don Ruby when I was in high school.
against all this.
And we were kids.
We were the kids.
And that's who we listened to, you know? Uh-huh. You know, we couldn't get enough of their old
and
stories.
Back then, they were all these young guys.
They were the legends.
And you could just sit down with Harold Clark. I mean, you could sit down and listen. And Don Smith left.
Oh, yeah. They
to me, they were my two.
Yeah. Harold Clark could tell stories.
Oh, God, he'd tell them from the time you got to the fair to the time you left. But he had all his homework done at home.
Yeah.
Because he was really the only professional.
Right. He was the only professional doing it. The rest were families.
Okay.
You know, yeah. Farmers.
But he had a crew just like Budweiser.
Yeah.
He did everything. I went to
era.
Toronto with him in 1970, and the crew was Dale, Gary Hale, myself, and Vaughn Toll.
And you were the guy staying up all night raising heck in the barn.
I was 18.
Back then.
You could back then.
Yeah. We took 18 that horse.
Yeah, he'd pull into Davenport with two trucks and had 22 head on. He had a horse in every class.
Every
horse. And he raised them all.
And the six.
Plus the six.
So what did he do? Or did he own a company?
No.
Or what?
No, he worked for Mrs. Dodge, wasn't it?
Wilson.
Mrs. Wilson, I mean, but she was Dodge.
Dodge money.
Dodge okay. Trucks or cars.
She gave buildings to the fairgrounds there in Lansing. She gave a lot of them buildings. But he started there. He won the international on that trade in 46.
Something like that.
45 or 46, he won the six. In Chicago, he was the first Belgian that ever won the international. Before that, it was all.
I don't know, Kyle. You got any more questions on?
I just got a quick comment, like for Jim. I've watched Jim shoe a horse, and I mean, it takes me forever to shoe a horse, and I'm wallering around and struggling like heck. But I like to shoe my own. You watch Jim shoe a horse, you'll never see anybody make it look easier. And just a testament to Jim, watching him shoe a horse is just a real treat. I think probably shoeing for as long as you have, Jim. And still being able to do it, that's probably why, because you make it look easy for yourself and for the horse.
Well, I try not to waste any motion so I can get done earlier.
He makes every move count, and he does it to make the horse comfortable, and the horse don't fight him. Where a lot of guys, well, me and Dale, we're bigger guys, and it's a little harder to make the horse comfortable when you're a big guy to crawl underneath him. But Jim was always... he could do it easier than anybody, and it ain't easy.
And right. he not only works to make it easy for himself, he shoes a horse to keep a horse sound and going for a long time, not just for 1 or 2 years. He's thinking about that horse's health, not just today, but next year.
Did you guys, you both shod your own
right
sixes throughout the years back in the, okay. I think a lot of people did that more back
exactly.
then,
you couldn't find good blacksmiths. You know, they weren't available. It's hard enough today's game, but at least there are guys out there that their profession is shoeing draft horses. Mm-hmm. Back then, I would say the big majority shod their own hitch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dale shod several hitches, and of course Jim was always shoeing. So, but a lot of them shod their own.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, do you still raise a few horses?
Oh, we got 5 Belgians, a couple colts coming, that's all. So, yep, we'd like to have a couple around.
Well, it's been good having you guys on here. We appreciate you taking the time and stopping by and chatting with us, and I'm sure the listeners will love it, and we appreciate it here on the Redrive podcast. And, Kyle, you got anything more to add? Do you want to ask these guys?
No, just... real appreciate you guys coming on, and I mean, just a real ambassadors for the industry for a lot of years, and great to hear your thoughts.
We miss you not being here. We could use a little more power in the Belgians.
I second that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a little old school philosophy today on this podcast.
Yeah, no, that's, I think our listeners, like I said, are definitely going to enjoy it. And, you know, the reason we're doing this podcast is to, you know, give the members something to listen to. But there's a lot of people in this industry that, you know, you don't get to hear their thoughts and all that all the time. So
Yeah, sure.
We were there when Timmy for Young Living was just a little snot-nosed kid running around irritating everybody. Dean Woodbury, I can remember judging him in junior showmanship classes and watching him drive. Ross Hansberger. We saw all them kids come up through the ranks, and you could tell even back then they were going to be really good horsemen. And there's a lot of others that I didn't mention, but you could see them coming.
I think there's a lot of great young drivers, and there are a lot of great horsemen, you know, younger horsemen in this industry. All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate okay. it. Thanks, You're Kyle. Welcome.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Kyle.
We would like to thank Rick and Andrea Welsh, owners of Topeka Draft Horse Auction, offering three great draft horse sales throughout the year. Next auction coming up is the spring sale, March 15th through the 19th. Make sure you follow them on Facebook, Topeka Livestock Auction, or visit their website, topekalivestock.com, and we'll see you in March. Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We sure do appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We love our listeners. And, Kyle, that was it was just great with those guys.
Yeah, big thank you to Craig Grange, Dale McMain, and Jim Ruppel for joining us on the podcast here. Just like I said before, just real ambassadors for our industry. Great guys. Just done a fantastic job all their lives. Just legends.
And, will be heading to Gordyville here. Well, when you're listening to this, you will be heading to Gordyville. We'll see you there. And if you see any of us, myself, Logan, Kyle, Mark Ostetler, Kevin Wilson, if you have any feedback or anything you'd like to hear on this, the podcast, the redrive here, give us a shout. And don't be afraid to stop and talk to us. And we hope to see everybody at Gordyville. And if you're not going to be there, make sure you drop by our mailbag, podcast@naclassicseries.com. The mailbag is brought to you by Reinhold Tack and Western Wear, the official clothing store of the Classic Series and the Redrive. If you're looking for Western Wear, show clothes, barn clothes, you name it, you can visit their store in Waterloo, Indiana, or shop online, reinholdwesternwear.com.
Next episode will be right from Gordyville, huh? So that'll be kind of fun.
Yeah, I forgot about that. We are going to be sitting down there at Gordyville and talk about the market and the horses there. And we'll be coming live from Gordyville. So that'll be good stuff. So be good to do one with you in person there, Kyle. Good to see you again. It's been a while.
That'd be nice to get out of Idaho.
If they let you out. So, all right, thanks again for tuning in, and drive safe, and we'll see you down the road.